I just wanted to state that my name was spelled incorrectly on the ballot, so in the
Oh, I'm
future it
sorry.
can be spelled correctly.
I'm
Thank
sorry
you.
about that. We apologize. It's extremely irritating. Okay, Ms. Huggins.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to give a brief overview of our finances for KPFA and for the PNB, for the Pacifica National Office. First, KPFA is paying all of its bills and it's in the black. The Pacifica NFC passed the KPFA projected 2024 budget and it has been sent to the PNB for approval. WBAI has a projected 2024 budget of over $200,000 in deficit. KPFK is also in deficit spending. I don't have the figures before me. They passed that before I was put on the board, so I'll try to obtain those for our next meeting. KPFT has made many sacrifices and worked very hard to get their budget balanced, and they've done an excellent job. WPFW has not yet presented their budget to the National Finance Committee. The executive director is working with the Pacifica business managers of all the stations, the Pacifica business manager and with the business managers of all the stations to standardize the accounting postings. There's a big problem with people categorizing things inaccurately for a lot of different stations, and so she's working her best to centralize and standardize that process so it's not so ungainly and difficult to interpret and put into the national books because it makes it very arduous for Markeisha, who's our national business manager. A letter of inquiry was sent to Pacifica by the FCC on February 12th, 2024, in response to the petition to deny that was filed regarding WBI's programming. Pacifica has until the end of March to supply requested documentation for the three programs cited, with allegations of advertising, self-inurement, and other violations. Our board officers were advised by an FCC attorney that WBAI will not lose their license, and attorneys rarely make such a unilateral statement, but that is what we were told. They may be fined, and they may have to remove the problematic programming and submit to a consent decree, however. I will be sending the petition copy of that to everybody because I don't know if all the board members of the directors have read it. I doubt that all of the people on our board have read it. So I will be sending it on the closed list to the people on our board. The national office, I'm going to read to you from the executive director's report from March 7th, 2024, to give to the LSBs. We are behind in total payables by over $1,382,814. The loan information, we're behind in FJC loan interest past due by $440,000. The SBA idle interest past due is $104,772. So the total loan interest past due is $544,772. That's just the interest that we owe on that. To total loan payoffs, if we paid off all of the loans, would be $5,300,465. And the total payables, everything all together in one lump, Pacifica owes $6,683,279. The loan updates. The SBI EIDL loan has been transferred to the U.S. Treasury Department for collections. Our general counsel, the Pacifica General Counsel, has begun working with them to agree to remove the lien from the Los Angeles property and to accept a payment of past due interest upon receipt of funds from the close of escrow. And for those of you that are not aware, the Los Angeles building has been sold, and we're just waiting for the lien to be released so that the money may be released. And then they've found a new place for the building. They found a new building to house that they'll be renting for programming for the people that are still there. And unfortunately, I don't believe we're hovering around 2.1 million is what they're getting for it, which really will not satisfy the level of the debt that we're in trouble with for what Pacifica owes at this point. The FJC, they were working with the FJC loan. They've agreed to remove the lien from the LA property, so that lien has been removed. And they also agreed to remove the 18 penalty interest on late payments, which is big. I believe it's rather than 18%, it's going to be around 3%. We've The NAS update, that's the National Election Supervisor. We've received 5 applicants for that position, and they're being reviewed. They're having a spreadsheet looked over for comparing the qualifications and experience of each applicant for fair review. They're building out the temporary location in Glendale for the new Los Angeles building, the move from the building that's been sold. And they have a lot of volunteers working on that. People have really pitched in at the Los Angeles station, which we're really grateful for. They're going to be adding to the lease another larger space on the same floor for storage, an additional workspace for the archives and membership. And Mo Thomas will be clearing any technical details to get the studio ready for training and operation. And KPFA will transition to be on air from the former location by Friday, March 15th. So yesterday, the Ides of March, they were moving. Buyers are working with us to make sure the move out is as smooth as possible and junk removal. And what I've been told is the people who have bought it have been very supportive of KPFK, and they value the station very much. And so they're trying to be very supportive of everything that's going on. I believe they're, after they do the architectural changes that they need to do to make the building compliant with all the building codes and make it acceptable for the new structure, they will allow WBAI, I think it's 10 years free rent to move back in. So that's a major gracious thing, and it will definitely help Pacifica. So that is, we did apply for CPB funding, and of course we're turned down because we don't qualify in a myriad of categories. And they received a letter stating that we need to comply, as we've said many times at our meetings, with the letter of 2013. And we're nowhere near in compliance with the demands made by that letter by the CPB. So that's my report.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Huggins. I see 2 hands up, Donald Goldmacher and Sharon Adams. And I assume you will be commenting on Ms. Huggins' report.
My hand is up. Please. My hand is also up.
I see you. Mr. Goldmacher, please, you were first.
Yes. I have a basic question here. You reported that WBAI, again, is going to be in deficit mode for the new fiscal year, according to their budget. We, on the other hand, we'll be in the black. We will not be in the red. So I want to understand how it is that the Finance Committee and the National Board of Directors continues to allow a station running in the red to continue running in the red while we are consistently being attacked for running in the black.
Yes, we all.
Just so you understand, we did not pass the WBAI budget. The WBAI projected budget for 2024 was passed by the WBAI Finance Committee. It was not passed by the National Finance Committee. We're a committee. It's up to the PNB to make the decisions as directors as to how to deal with the deficit spending.
So will the Finance Committee be making a recommendation to the National Board on about how to deal with this?
We had a lot of discussion where we stated that we could not vote for it because it was a deficit budget. That's the extent.
Okay, next, Sharon Adams.
Okay, thanks. Thanks so much, Christina. I didn't quite catch what you were saying about the EIDL loan. Did you say that was being moved to collections? That's my one question. And what that means if it's moved to collections. And my second question is a comment, which I did notice that you said that there's like a $6 million that's owed. And I just want to comment that perhaps if WBAI had paid the $8 million, we wouldn't be so far in debt.
Did you want to respond to that, Ms. Huggins? No. All right. Ms. Milos, you your hand went down. Do you still want to speak? You're next in line.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I don't know why my hand went down. It does that automatically, I assume. Yes, I do want to speak. A lot has been said about.
I haven't answered her question yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I need to answer the question fully.
Oh, sorry, Ms. Huggins.
That's okay. The second part of the question was about the SBA EIDL loan. And yes, that EIDL loan is in default, so it was moved to the U.S. Treasury Department for collections. And the status right now is, their counsel has begun to work with them to remove the lien from the LA property and to accept the payment of the past due interest upon receipt of funds from the close of escrow from the sale of the Los Angeles building.
Are you done, Ms. Huggins?
I am.
Does that answer your question, Ms. Adams, satisfactorily? Okay, thank you. Ms. Milo, sorry for the interruption. Please proceed.
Yes, I'd like to state for the record that WBAI, during the year, those different years that had gone by, was put under a very difficult situation where they had very difficult overhead costs that KPFA never had to deal with. And this attacks on WBAI, a sister station, by members, some of the members here of the KPFA LSB, is not conducive to having a strong foundation. And as well as the attacks that have meant more than $500,000 or even up to $1 million in costs of legal costs in terms of trying to change the results of two different elections that failed to change the bylaws.
Is this a question?
Yes, actually, yes.
What is the question?
The question is, why do we still have people on this board continually attacking WBAI and framing the $8 million debt or $6 million debt of WBAI as solely WBAI's fault, when it is very clear that WBAI was dealing with incredible overhead costs?
Your 60 seconds is up.
Okay, so Ms. Huggins, do you want to reply to that?
I will reply to that. WBAI lost their building many, many years ago because they were unable to keep up the payment for the building that they owned. WBAI during they had actually talked about a relatively small amount of money, $14,000 a month, that they were supposed to be paying to the Empire State Building and Trust. And not only did they not pay the reduced amount that was on handshake, so they actually never regularly paid. And at the end of the day, what happened is they hadn't paid for 3 months, and they had not informed the PNB, and they had not reached out to the Empire State Building Trust either. And so that's when the loan was closed in on, and that's when the lawsuit took place. And there's the other comments are just propaganda. I'm not quite sure why some people on this board are on this board when all I do is attack KPFA, and they should be on the WBAI local station board. That would be my response.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fest, you're next up.
Yeah, I have to, before I get to my question, I have to say quite a few people on this board seem to spend more time talking about WBAI than the KPFA. Maybe they should all run for WBAI board. My question is, earlier on you said our attorney has advised us that WBAI won't lose its license. Who is the party you're describing as our, and what's the attorney's name, please?
So first, I'm not going to make throwing an attorney out in an environment where people routinely attack other people. If you don't want to take my word for it, why don't you talk to your PNB directors and see if they disagree with the assessment? And WBAI, this is a strange thing. I'm not attacking WBAI. I don't think any of us are. What we're saying is pay your bills. They're probably about $9 million in debt right now, which has made the Pacifica Foundation, are existential right now. We have an existential threat to the whole foundation. It's not against WBAI. It's a wonderful, it has a radio station with a wonderful, rich history. We would like to see it succeed. We'd like it to be robust financially, and have great programming on it. So it's not an attack. It's actually support for having WBAB be fruitful. And actually, it's got a station in the biggest media market in the whole country. They have a quarter of the membership of KPFA, a quarter of the membership. People aren't listening. So that would be my response.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, wait.
Mr. Zeltzer,
question wasn't answered. My question was not answered.
It was answered. I told you I'm not giving you the name of the attorney.
Ms. Huggins responded to your question, sir. That's it. Mr. Zeltzer, you're next.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We have a report from this officer, and she can't say who the lawyer is, keeping a secret from the board. I mean, it's pretty astounding. Can you stop interrupting me, please?
I will call on you after Mr. Zeltzer finishes.
It's a point of personal privilege, Chair.
Mr. Zeltzer?
Ask your parliamentarian.
Do you have your question? What's your point of personal privilege? I'm sorry, Mr. Zeltzer. I'm going to interrupt you for Ms. Pagano.
My point of personal privilege is that no director on the PNB it was ever called on or encouraged to speak. And if anybody wants to know my position on the PNB, I am the chair of the National Finance Committee.
You are next agenda item, so you will be able to speak.
The question of getting this information is important. The other question that I'm concerned about financially is that a number of complaints have been made by supporters of some of people on this board at the FCC to call on the government to take over and to investigate WBAI, which I find extremely dangerous. As we know, the government has an interest in shutting down independent media. They've done that. They want to control. Can I finish my statement?
Okay. There's 60 seconds left, Mr. Zeltzer.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dodsworth. If you're finished, Mr. Zeltzer, Mr. Goldmacher, you already talked, so I'm going to bring it over to Mr. Dodsworth if he has with his comments and questions.
Yeah, I sit on the PNB and I'll give you the attorney's name, but I can tell you why they don't want to give it to you is because there are too many people who are Trump-like and assault these people and harass them and harangue them. But his name is Brad Deutsch and he was not hired by us. He was hired by, frankly, the WBAI team. And so he is a specialist in FCC, issues. He does it for many, many different stations. I also want to point out that WBAI was in trouble, was not able to make their financial commitments long before any of this happened. And in fact, one of the reasons we don't have money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is because WBAI refused to turn over the documents that were requested. So when you complain about how we are the problem, you need to actually spend a little time and figure out where the real problem is. Had WBAI.
Point of order.
Thank you, Mr. Dodsworth. Mr. Goldmacher, quickly before I'm infringing upon Ms. Wolfley's time. So quickly, Mr. Goldmacher.
Actually, we're out of time for this issue.
Well, quickly, two things. I still haven't received a mail ballot. Number one. Number two, with regard to the issue at KPFA. I'm sorry, at WBAI, it's quite simple. You can provide all of the excuses you want for all of the mishaps there, but you have a pattern of behavior there, by not only management, but by some of the staff and its LSB that shows that they don't care whether they are running in the deficit because they know that Pacifica is going to pick up the tab. And they have stated so in writing and verbally as well. We should not be picking up the tab for people who don't know how to run their radio station. They either need to be replaced or Pacifica needs to take over the station and run it. Period.
Okay, thank you. I see a little fleeting message about Ms. Milo's concern about the voting, so we will now go to Carol Wolfley, who'll give us a status on the voting. Thank you.
How do I deal with the fact that we are now over the 20 minutes we allotted for this session?
Ms. Wolfley, please just give us a status on the voting. Nobody can hear you.
Donald, in the chat is a phone number. Can you call that number in to vote?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else having problems with voting?
Elizabeth Milo said she was.
Elizabeth, did you get the phone number in the chat to vote?
I already called. Yes, thank you. I called. My suggestion in the chat was that to include the tally before the end of the meeting, because previously I hadn't called out of order.
Elizabeth, I'm just checking to see if you were able to vote, not about your commentary, please.
Okay. Ms. Milo's status, what is ideal, but unfortunately we have to rely on the counters. So that would be the ideal situation, but sometimes it's not possible. Okay. The time allotted for this has already passed. The next one will be the Pacifica National Board. Members, are there any reports from Ms. Pagano? I'll call on you first.
Back on March 10th or 11th, I sent out a copy of the executive director's report to the PNB that was especially suggested that it go to all of the LSBs. So if anyone has any question on that I sent a week ago, I'd be happy to answer. I am on the NFC and National Finance Committee, and I chair that committee. Some of the questions that were asked is, Christine is absolutely right that the WBAI budget has not been passed. It is on the agenda for the next PNB meeting for the national board to pass, accept, or not. KPFA's budget is also on that. The WBAI budget was reviewed by the previous NFC, the 2023 NFC, and KPFA's is the beginning of what this 2024 NFC has met about, and our next meeting of the NFC, we will be going over the DC budget, WPFW, and then we will review the national office budget. And then we will immediately start over again with the budgeting process, because the 2023 NFC got really bogged down, and it is 6 months overdue in terms of passing the budget. And the 2024 group committee is committed to just once getting us on time with our mandated schedule, as happens in many of the committees. And there's one thing I want to say. WBAI and Pacifica have been at each other's throats for a long time, and it isn't the people at WBAI, it isn't the people at KPFA that are causing this intense drama. It is factions. There are two major factions, not only two, but there are two major factions in Pacifica, and they'd rather fight and be to proclaim themselves correct, then help both their local station board, their cabs, for those who have them, and the national, then stop sniping each other. The problems of Pacifica are profound financially. And there is no BAI, KPFA separate from going down, going bankrupt, there's Pacifica. Pacifica is literally, not actually, but you look at a lot of the financial statements and you got to say, isn't this place bankrupt? And it is.
I was thinking.
So that's my feedback from, from the PMB. But what I have to say is there are a lot of people on the PMB this year. We got lucky. Don't really know how, but people who are not in factions on the PNB board this year. And we hope to thread the needle and get work done and try to make a difference. But the meetings, I hope you listen into public meetings since you're on this board and need to know what's on the national front. I hope you listen in, and I think you will see that the free-for-all that PMB meetings have been in the majority for years is not happening right now. I can only speak for right now. So the influence of factions is being sort of held back, but of course there are people in the two major factions on the board still. Folks, it's really bad. It's financially really bad. And we have an excellent, excellent executive director who is on the ball and trying to get things done. But of course she answers to the PMB. So can only work at the speed of the PMB or what they will allow. So there is much to be hopeful about, but there is so much to fear. And that's my PNB.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Milos. Ms. Seltzer, please bear with us. We are going to do, I'm going to request comments from all the PNB board members first before you make your comments. So please bear with us. I have, does either Zach, Fred, or Donna, do you have any reports you would like to make?
Please. I can make a report.
Okay, Fred?
I want to affirm what Darlene said, and I want to affirm also that Darlene is an independent. She's not a part of either faction. I consider myself the same way. On the other hand, both of us are responsible parties. I am extremely impressed with the work being done by our executive director. Our executive director has not just threaded the needle, but she's pulled miracles. The deal on the KPFK building in Southern California is worth far more than the $2 million that we're getting it, because it's helping us with both the station itself and with all of our historic documents, all of our material that has been collected over the past 70 years, which has been not well handled. The executive director has garnered interest from a number of sources who have offered us over $6 million to take the archives and digitize them. That is brilliant. We have been restricted from telling you all the benefits of the sale of the LA building, but let me assure you that the people who bought the building love KPFK, and they intend to promote KPFK. They intend to promote the entire network. One of the biggest problems with the PNB is the same problem that we have here at the LSB, and it is called micromanaging. And I want to say, I've sat on a lot of boards, and so I want to explain to everybody what sitting on a board means. It means you go out and raise money. It doesn't mean that you pick programming. It doesn't mean that you hire and fire staff. It means you go out and you raise money. And if you're on this board, whether it's the LSB or the PNB, that's your job. You need to hire the person, the general manager, that can do the job. And if the general manager can't do the job, then you fire them and get a new one. We have an excellent general manager. They've really, really turned this entire network around. And if they are given the authority and the possibility, they will actually rescue the entire Pacific network. They're ambitious. They want to actually extend the network. They're interested in opening up more radio stations. But one of the biggest problems we face is that we don't get PNB money, or we don't get Corporation for Public Broadcasting money. And there's a reason for that. And if you look into that reason, you'll understand why there is so much rancor about these, the way that various stations have been managed. Also, I need to tell you that TPFA is not doing anything like the public stations are across the nation. The fact that we allow people to join for $25 when it costs, when we are millions of dollars in debt, is kind of shocking. It really means that we are underselling ourselves, and we need to take a very, very serious look at that. I know that it's great to have great programming, but if you're not getting any support from your programming, it's not my job to cancel it, but it's somebody's job to cancel it. And this is what we need to address. This is not a situation where there's magic fairy dust that's going to sprinkle down on us and make it fly. The only thing that's going to make it fly is green dollars. And if you can't bring green dollars to the network, then you really got to question what you're doing. I'm really, really pleased with how the PNB is operating these days. It is a no BS system, a no BS space. And, I really feel good about it. We are shortening our time, no more 5-6 hour meetings. And, it's not pleasurable, but it's so much better than it was. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Zach or Donna, do you have any, a report to make to the board?
I'll speak. This is Donna.
Okay.
I'm new to the board, so I'm working very hard to catch up, be on top of it. But I do have a slight sense of optimism in terms of long-term survival of the Pacifica network. And I believe that Stephanie Wells is doing an excellent job. So I would second what Fred said. So I'm just going to keep it short because I am still integrating all the information. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just be super quick too. I have a lot of agreement with actually all three of the other board members. So that's, this is new. And, I thought the presentation from our attorney, both in the last two meetings, as well as the inquiry from the SEC validated a lot of concerns that many of us have had. And confirmed a lot of those concerns regarding what's been taking place at WBAI. But from the positive perspective, I also agree Stephanie's doing an outstanding job, and I have felt more hopeful after the last few PNB meetings than I thought I would have when I first joined in. And so I do also have that feeling that we're maybe turning a corner, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, thank you, Zach. Liz, your hand was up, but it's not up. So I assume, do you still want to speak? Ms. Milos?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay, please proceed. Do you want to make one?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what I've heard coming out of the PMB.
Ms. Milos, might help if you have a question to specifically designate whether you're asking it of Darlene, Fred, Zach or Donna, so that it would facilitate the discussion. Thank you.
No, I'm going to pass this time. Thank you.
Okay, Steve Seltzer, you have your hand up.
Yeah, well, I think it is important that there be democratic discussion and transparency and process. And one of the things I'm concerned about is the danger of losing WBAI because of the action of the FCC. And I know some board members supported, and others supported going to the FCC to tell the FCC that they should decide what's going on at WBAI instead of letting Pacifica take that action. Maybe any of the board members can address the cost for attorneys on this action to fight the FCC or to deal with the FCC. I think that that's an important issue because that could amount to many thousands of dollars harmful to Pacifica and KPFA. the cost of that kind of action of filing a complaint with the Federal Communications Commission against the sister station of Pacifica. The second thing I want to ask is this idea that, you know, we have to have programming for money. Only programming that makes money should get funding. And I think that there's an effort to shut down, have commercial.
Please, Mr. Zeltser, wrap it up. We have people waiting. Mr. Zeltser, please make your closing comments.
He muted himself.
Have programs that make money is a dangerous conception, anti-Pacifica conception.
Okay, thank you. I think next was Philip.
Could I reclaim my time, please, after Philip?
Okay, all right.
I've had a hand up for a while, too.
So I'm going to address Fred. I think many people are under the impression that the problem with the archive is digitalization of all of these analog tapes. The problem is bigger than that. The problem is that many of these programs are not documented. We don't know if we own them. We don't know if we have the rights to them. If we don't have documentation on each program saying that, in fact, it is ours, it could belong to the BBC. It could belong to almost anybody. So digitalization is obviously part of it, but the documentation is a bigger problem.
Can I answer that question?
With regard to something else you said, Fred, on the $25 subscription or membership, $25 obviously is a pittance in today's economy. But the fact of the matter is it gets people in the habit of giving to KPFA. And this time it's 25. Next time it'll be 60 or 100. So it gets them in the door. And I disagree with you that raising the minimum contribution to 50 or whatever is going to really help. I think that would be a mistake.
Okay, Ms.
Fred, can I respond to him?
Quickly, please.
Yeah, I can't tell you all the details on the digitization. It's just a small portion of it. And what I feel extremely good about what they're doing, and they are addressing all of those issues with millions and millions of dollars.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Wolfley, Mr. Goldmacher, I'm going to take a point of personal privilege of the chair and call on Mr. Borgstrom since I was unable to address him. So, Mr. Borgstrom, if you want to speak now, please do.
Yes, Daniel here. Thank you very much, Lily. What I am worried about, this complaint to the FCC at WBAI. Now, could that somehow bounce over to KPFA? I mean, are we endangering the whole network, including KPFA? I mean, there's people in the government who do not like KPFA. There's APEC who would love to shut up our programs about Palestine. What is the danger that this complaint might somehow be expanded, might offer a foothold or whatever to attack KPFA?
I understand Ms. Pagano wants to reply.
I want to point out that the FCC investigation is strictly about the financial arrangements that Gary Knowles' program and then the other two mentioned as well. What are the financial arrangements? Are they being treated as commercial underwriting without being reported as commercial underwriting? That is what it is. It is not the content of any program being investigated by the FCC. It is financial arrangements, financial agreements. That is the problem that the FCC finds. And our FCC lawyer is working diligently with the FCC to get Pacifica in compliance. So it won't go anywhere else, especially about content. It is very, very specific, not just to one station, but to one little subset of programs.
Okay, thank you very much. It is now 12:25, and I want to caution to the rest of the people that we have on this topic to please keep it brief so we do not infringe upon the public comment period. Ms. Wolfley, you're next.
Thank you. My question is to Zach Caldvier, and I have two parts to it. First part, Zach, which do you think is a bigger danger financially? A station that owes $8 million to the network, or a small fine to correct problems with their violations of fundraising issues? That's the first issue. And secondly, Zach, I want to thank you for the amazing article that you wrote about Gaza and Palestine in relation to independent media. And as a personal point of privilege, I would ask if you would be willing, and perhaps to, with the officers of this board, to send KPFA a copy of your article, and also to—
Carol, your time is up.
Can I finish, Lily?
Yes, 30 seconds.
And to thank the, KPFA management and staff for the amazing coverage that they are doing of Gaza and Palestine. I wondered, Zach, if you would be willing to do that.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Carol.
Okay.
To just briefly answer the question, I mean, the perspective that I would have is that some of the compliance and transparency that the FCC is asking for from WBAI in the long run is going to be good for WBAI, good for the foundation, and therefore is going to be money well spent. So I think this is a good thing, and it was a necessary thing. And, you know, now it's just moving forward, all of us together.
Thank you. Mr. Goldmacher, you're next, and I see your fingers.
Yeah. Just very quickly, the petition to deny written to the FCC requested that the FCC help WBAI clean up its act. Nowhere in that petition was there any reference made to denying the license to WBAI in New York. Number two, this behavior on the part of WBAI has been going on for quite a long time. It was brought to the attention of the PNB, which, you know, chose to ignore it. In fact, the behaviors at WBAI were noticed by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting back in 2013 when they said, hey, what you're doing there is not okay. That was the ombudsman of the CPB. And that's part of the reason why CPB is not giving any money to Pacifica these days. So when you talk about monies.
Time is up, Donald.
Okay, I'll just finish by saying the driving away of listenership in New York by these programs is astounding. So to say that these programs are making money is a farce. They've cost the station millions.
And we're time.
Okay, thank you.
20 minutes.
Okay, we have a couple minutes, but Mr. Fess, please go on. You've been waiting a while.
Anthony. Yes, a very, very specific question. Someone referred a while back to a letter from the CPB refusing funding for Pacifica. Is that recent? Was an application made recently, or is this,
Yes.
The application was made recently.
Yes.
Could someone provide the, LSB members with a copy of that letter?
I'm not.
I believe it was, going back to, 2013.
It was going back to, but incorporated currently as well.
Can I say? The CPB has turned down, even considering Pacifica's application. We have many, there are many reasons why we no longer, qualify for their funding, having to do mostly with our size. and the great, great fall off of our size. But there was a letter in 2013 that basically said from the CPB, we are done with you. And that is because in 2006, the CPB wrote a letter saying there are problems here and we need you to fix these things and answer these questions. That letter was ignored by every volunteer rotating, put in, jump out, interim executive director for the next 6 years. And the CPB wrote back, might have been 7 years. The CPB wrote back and said, we have given you these years to come talk to us and show us how you fix things. And you never, ever did. We are done with you.
And that cost us $18 million.
Okay. The chair is speaking now. This is a topic I'm sure we'll be discussing at future meetings. It is now 12:31. We've already kept the public waiting 1 minute, and we are now going into public comment. And whoever is not going to be making public comment, please lower your hands.
I have a motion to extend.
Steve Seltzer.
I have a motion to extend.
Philip, please don't interrupt me. Please lower your hands, and we will be going into public comment.
I have a motion to extend.
And
change time. Can it be changed for public comment?
What?
The time cannot be changed for public
comment. Can we get the result of the election?
Okay, you're not going to be changing the time. We're going into public comments.
First
person is Carlos.
Lily, can we just get a result from the vote and see if the vote is final before we go into public comment?
Well, Ms. Wolfley will tell us if there's a question regarding the votes. I imagine what's going to happen is the votes will not be done and we will be sending emails out to everybody.
There's a motion to extend an emergency resolution on Palestine.
No, we're not going to do a resolution. We are doing public comments.
After public comments, I'm asking for...
After public comments, I am not keeping the public waiting. Carlos, please start.
Thank you. By the way, how much time for each comment?
It's 2 minutes, I believe.
Okay. Can we start now, please?
Yes.
All right. I wrote down my comments, but I noticed I've been attending for the last hour that this issue has been talked about, so I apologize for some of the repetition. I want to talk about the FCC investigation of Pacifica and WBAI. And I noticed that there is a lot of confusion and fear and anger and concerns. And I have done some research, and I want to set some of the facts. So I'm going to go through a bullet point because I have such a short time. First of all, May 2022, Pacifica Safety Net, which is a group of Pacifica members and listeners, submitted a so-called petition to deny to the FCC. This is a category of the FCC, as far as I can see. It's a name. It doesn't mean that it is requesting to deny a license, which is the way it was interpreted by some people. It's a request to investigate. Second, the idea was a request to investigate and force changes to the WBAI because there were allegations that they were breaking some FCC and Pacifica rules. That's what it was. On February 2024, the FCC sent back a letter to Pacifica, which is called a letter of inquiry, LOI. And it's exactly doing that. It's requesting documents to investigate the allegations. I'm asking everybody that is interested, these documents are free to see. You can go to the PacificaSafetyNet.org, which is what I did. I'm not a member of the Pacifica Safety Net. I just Googled it, and you can download the documents. The petition to deny is a 22-page document, but the whole document is 238 pages, and that's because it goes into a painful detail of all the violations of not all, but a good amount of the violations, they are transcripts of actual programs on WBAI. Am I run out of time? Did I run out of time? I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yes, that was 2 minutes. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you, Carlos. The next speaker is 1-323-38106. Please speak. You're up.
Oh, okay. This is Kim. I couldn't follow your numbering. This is Kim Kaufman from Los Angeles, KPFK. And I need to correct some of Christina's numbers. She was misinformed or misinforming. WBAI's deficit is $171,000. It came to the NFC before this new NFC was started, before Christina was there. And we reviewed it, and the ED worked with GM because it was submitted with about $200,000 of fantasy revenue. And the ED put the GM and got the numbers reasonable, and it came out to $171,000 deficit. KPFA's budget came to the NFC with $200,000 of fantasy revenue in it. And that budget was approved. Without that $200,000 fantasy revenue, it would have a $190,000 deficit, bigger than WBAI's. I really wish people would learn how to read spreadsheets. Yeah. It's really stunning to me how much of an attack on WBAI this is. I hate to say it, but KPF has had, and not right at this moment, but has had much larger FCC violations than WBAI, but it is being ignored. I have been able to fix some of them, but it's a
Can you please wrap it up? I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Please wrap it up.
Yeah, because that's, well, now I only have 14 seconds because we've been getting around.
Please don't argue with me. You have 30 seconds. Talk.
Oh, fuck off.
Okay, now that's the ending of public comments, unless I see any other hands. Oh, Carlos.
Yes, can I start?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Since nobody else raised, I wanted to complete my idea. The allegations against WBAI are, again, serious. There are people making money that are hosts of the programs in a private way. There are many serious allegations. You need to read them before. And so that's why I insist that people go to the original documents. Some critics ask, why didn't the safety net people or some other people go to the PMB instead of going to the FCC? I agree with that, but then I learned that people have been going to the PMB, and rather that the PMB, rather than investigating the allegations, starting persecuting the whistleblowers, starting attacking the people that brought the allegations. And this happened for many years. So the people that went to the FCC, apparently it was a last attempt or a last resort to try to get changes, because these allegations, if true, they put in danger the whole network. What WBAI has been doing has been breaking the rules, it's putting in danger the whole network. Finally, so again, I'm asking people to go read the original documents before you make a decision on what to say about it. Finally, I did search the numbers. WBAI has a 0.01 to 0.02% audience of the in the New York market. They've been losing audience for years, and they've been losing money for over 10 years. So now that's different from breaking the FCC rules, but it is important because it's been dragging the whole network down financially. So that's why you hear
so much is up.
Passion okay. and anger. I'm
thank
sorry.
Thank you, Carlos. Next okay. speaker, thank you. Thank you. Rivera, please. Mara Rivera.
She's I'm muted.
Sorry if I mispronounced your name.
Okay, yeah, I want to make a public comment. The Pacifica bylaws were designed to prevent takeovers of the Pacifica Foundation as was being attempted and resisted at that earlier time and continues to this day.
Hello, I think we lost you.
Yeah, she disappeared.
Well, please call back. Ms. Kaufman, do you want to be addressed again? Okay. That looks like, oh, here it is. The 329-68143. Please speak. 1-832-968-1438. Going once. Going twice. I am going to
point of order, Lily.
Yes.
I think that Steve wanted to speak. And I think he I'm gonna ask him to unmute.
Okay. He's unmuted.
Okay, Steve, were you able to speak?
I didn't. I didn't want to join the mudslinging, so I'm just going to listen.
Okay.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, he did not. He did not. I okay. thought.
All right. So we are ending public. What that? This. They're gone. I already called on them. Okay. Public comments. There are no more public comments. It is now 12:42. Public comments is over, and. Now I will, it's new business.
Excuse me.
I will put
Excuse
the
me.
Floor on to Ms. Milos, who is, was put on earlier for her motion. Ms. Milos?
Thank you very much. As I said before, this is an emergency motion for Palestine, KPFA LSB motion for Palestine. We attempted to present this motion last time, and it was labeled as posturing, before. Unfortunately, that we really do need KPFA to step up to the plate, LSB to step up to the plate. And the motion is in the chat. I can read it out loud, or I can just read the resolution part, the be it resolved part. Which one would you prefer?
Could you please read the resolution part?
Okay, the entire resolution? I would
yes.
be very happy to. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Whereas the KPFA LSB emergency resolution on Palestine, whereas KPFA LSB opposes the genocidal Israeli attacks on Gaza and the role of the U.S. government in arming and funding Israel to carry them out. More than 30,000 people have been killed, including 12,000 children, almost 500 healthcare workers, 134 journalists, and more than 80,000 wounded. 2 million people are expected to die of famine due to the forced starvation imposed by Israel in not allowing any significant aid to go through the land borders. Whereas KPFA-LSB concurs with the ample evidence brought forth by South Africa at the International Court of Justice of the Israeli government's clear intent to commit genocide, and that this is a direct violation of Genocide Convention, and demands that Israel and the U.S. as signatories of this convention abide by the ACJ ruling and stop this genocide. The current bombings, decimation of all the infrastructure, forced displacement of Palestinians, and the outright denial of water, food, medicine, electricity, fuel, and humanitarian aid being carried out by Israel are genocidal and must stop. All U.S. military aid to Israel must end immediately. That the U.S. has vetoed numerous U.N. Security Council resolutions calling for a ceasefire, which makes it directly complicit in genocide, whereas this war is not an Israeli-Hamas war, as U.S. mainstream media continues to affirm. It is a war against the Palestinian people and is the outcome of decades of imperialist domination and settler colonialism, funded significantly by the U.S., which has given it political cover at the U.N. via its U.N. Security Council veto power to continue its apartheid government, its illegal settlements, and its ethnic cleansing and now outright genocide of Palestinians with impunity. U.S. mainstream media has also given an ample platform to this false equation of anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism and to the efforts to criminalize the nonviolent international movement led by Palestinian civil society and trade unions for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel, which demands full equality and civil rights for Palestinians in Israel and an end to occupation and the right of return for the millions of Palestinians in refugee camps or imprisoned in Gaza and the Palestinian diaspora. Whereas worldwide, anti-war and anti-imperialist movements in the U.S., Europe, Latin America, Asia, Africa, and the Middle East are organizing resistance to U.S. militarism and Israeli occupation. This includes massive protests by young U.S. Jews in unprecedented numbers in solidarity with Palestinian rights and survival and against the U.S. government's pro-war stance in Gaza and congressional members with cozy relationships with U.S. weapons industries. Whereas the U.S. and the Bay Area rank-and-file labor activists have been confronting the bureaucratic forces and undemocratic leadership in organized labor and instead have been voting for ceasefire statements and organizing in solidarity with Palestine and their counterparts in Palestine. Whereas the role of independent media in this ongoing and appalling genocide is crucial in establishing the real extent of U.S. complicity in the establishment of the apartheid state of Israel, such as the funding by the American Federation of Labor since the 1920s of the supremacist History Do Trade Association in Israel that displaces Palestinians from both land and labor. The role of U.S. labor bureaucracy as the arm of U.S. foreign policy has been well documented as it relates to the U.S. intervention in Chile and other countries, but its role in Palestine continues to be hidden from our listeners and U.S. voters. Although more journalists have been killed in Gaza in 6 months than during the entire Vietnam War, U.S. media organizations have continued to keep silent, imposing a false, quote-unquote, neutrality standard, which should not stand where a genocide is concerned. Therefore, be it resolved that the KPFA-LSB expresses its commitment to peace and justice to demand an end to the illegal blockade by Israel and for the implementation of full-fledged emergency humanitarian aid be allowed through the borders to prevent a major famine of the 2 million people in Gaza and to prevent a new Nakba. The KPFA-LSB supports the current upsurge in activism and solidarity with Palestine and supports nationwide coverage live in the U.S., Europe, and the Arab and Muslim world to break the information blockade on truthful news and analysis in this country. And be it further resolved that we call in Pacifica to schedule rapidly 24-hour emergency national teach-in against this genocide with participation and direction from Palestinian Jewish voices against genocide, occupation, and apartheid, and programmers who have been covering these issues at all five stations with voices of activists and academics on the history and roots of the current crisis. Be it further resolved that we call on Pacifica stations and affiliates to air a daily report based on material from the Electronic Intifada, which features uncensored reports from on the ground, as well as essential counter to the lies and distortions heard on corporate-dominated commercial and public media that fall in line with U.S. government and other propaganda efforts justifying billions in weapons and war crimes. Be it further resolved that we support the demands for full equality and civil rights for Palestinians in Israel and to the occupation and the right of return for the millions of Palestinians in refugee camps or imprisoned in Gaza and in the Palestinian diaspora. And further, be it further resolved that we demand an end to U.S. aid to Israel and we support the divestment movement against the apartheid government
of Israel. Point of order, Madam Chair.
And we call on the AFL-CIO to break its ties with Histadrut and all universities and pension plans to divest from Israeli bonds. Thank you.
Thank you. What is your point of order, Ms. Wolfley?
Point of order, this has not been written into the chat.
Yeah, it has.
Oh, it has? I didn't.
Yes, I believe it has been. So I believe we have some discussion on this motion. I'll start with Mark.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'll try to be brief. What I'm going to say, I say this, I was in Dearborn organizing alongside the Uncommitted Movement in Michigan the other week. I say this as someone who helped organize the ceasefire resolutions in Oakland, which passed. And also I coordinated for the ceasefire protests on the Democratic Party. I'm with you in this struggle at this demanding historic moment, and I understand the impulse behind this resolution. But the reason why I'm going to vote against this on this board is for all the problematic dimensions. If we pass this resolution, there is a moral commitment demanded of this board of what we should be committing our time to. It forces a moral obligation to pass resolutions on a whole slew of foreign policy imperatives. Yemen, Rwanda, Syria, Ukraine, Haiti, Libya, imperialist policies, and where journalists are also being murdered. So passing this resolution, we as a board would be in the job of symbolism and not governance. And as one of the few media institutions consistently telling the truth about Israel's war crimes against Palestinians, I'm so proud of KPFA and Pacifica. The KPFA Pacifica heritage of being anti-war is why I'm here. But I take the stance that you will know us by our actions, not by our resolutions. Or you will know us by our programming, not our resolutions. So that's why I won't be voting for this resolution.
Thank you. Sharon Adams? Sharon?
Yes, hold on. I had to unmute. Okay, yes, thank you. I just want to comment that, you know, yeah, I agree. We should prevent genocide. Thank you, Mark. You are so much more eloquent than I could be on that point. We should be preventing genocide, but you know what? Passing a resolution by the KPF-LSB is going to do nothing to prevent genocide. Mr. Biden is not going to stop sending bombs if we pass this resolution. Israel is not going to open the border if we pass this resolution. All it does is cause fighting among ourselves over political issues, which is a waste of time because we have a radio station to run. As Mark said so clearly, we would have to then start talking about other issues. Where do we draw the line? And do we just argue with each other? Do we start with People's Park? Because people have different views on that. Do we talk about Syria, which I mentioned before? We, the United States, are illegally occupying Syria. Maybe we should care more about where our troops are illegally in the world instead of thinking about what Israel is doing. So maybe we should be passing a resolution on that. Or how about the vaccine, where, you know, people are suffering from excess deaths and dying from clots and it's not being reported anywhere. Maybe we should have a resolution on that. That would definitely cause a controversy on this board. So for all the reasons that Mark said and the reasons I have said for many, many years, it's not our place to be passing political resolutions. Thank you. That's my
thank you, Mr. Zeltser. Steve.
I think that the issue of the genocide that's going on is an issue for KPFA local station board. Yes, it is. We need to take a stand against it. And there's some of you who apparently think that that's not something we should take a stand on. Well, the same argument were used in the city of San Francisco and other government agencies. We shouldn't take a stand on genocide. That's what they said. The same. We've got other business to do. Yes, the business of Pacifica is opposing war and militarism. It is opposing the 800 bases around the world and the bombing of people around the world. That is one of the goals and principles of Pacifica. And I think people have to go back to the precepts that started Pacifica. It was a pacifist movement against war and militarism. And in front of us, we have a genocide, which the Biden supporters are denying that there's U.S. complicity. Yes, the United States is involved in the genocide. And people don't want to face that reality. Pacifica and KPFA should not only support this, but they should support a national day of programming from around the country so we can hear the voice of the people. We will get support in the Palestinian communities, among Jews, among workers who are against this genocide. But we shouldn't take a position just to get support. We should take a position because this is principle. We need to take a stand. I mean, it's like fascism and what the Nazis did. We can't take a position on the genocide against the Jews because that's not our job.
90 seconds is up.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zeltser. Ms. Wolf, please, next.
Yeah, I think there's not a lot of clarity about the role of governance. We have three parts of KPFA. We have management, we have programmers, hosts, staff, and producers, and it is their job to determine and to editorialize. This is a very, very long motion, as if it could be a radio show. I mean, I would take that motion to one of the producers and have them talk about it. But we are not producers. They have editorial freedom. KPFA has a lot of editorial freedom of the staff, and it's not our job. Our job is to make sure that there is a station. And I also think that what Zach is doing and what we as officers can do is, as a board, commend KPFA for their excellent coverage of these issues of Gaza and Palestine and the many other issues that Mark is talking about. And because there is extensive coverage, and I don't want to override the editorial power that our staff has to cover these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Donald Goldmacher is next. Then I have Donald Carter, Cheryl Davila, Liz Milos, Fred Dodsworth, and Daniel Borgstrom.
Liz has already spoken.
Donald Goldmacher next.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, this comes up repeatedly here on this local board whenever there's a hot issue out there. Now, Ms. Milos and Mr. Zeltzer thinks we need to take a stand on, and here we go again. Everybody on this board obviously is aware and condemns what is happening in Gaza, what's being done to the Palestinian people, not just in Gaza, but in the West Bank. Our radio station is doing its job. It is reporting what is happening there on a daily basis. That's what we do. This local board has no role in passing resolutions. That is not our job. Our job is to make sure that this radio station thrives and grows. And we are not necessarily doing a great job in that regard. So I will vote no on this. And any of the arguments the other side wants to throw, I would just refer back to what Mark said. He was far more eloquent than any of us could ever be on this subject around all of the parameters involved. Thanks so much.
I have a question. I have a question.
Yes.
Maybe
God's word.
This has not been seconded. Why are we discussing this?
It doesn't matter. It was we voted to put it under new business.
Right. Then I'd like to make a motion to amend it.
Second it.
Okay. You know, no, I'm not going to entertain it. Donna Carter.
I still was not allowed to speak to this motion.
Okay, please don't interrupt. I called on Donna Carter, Ms. Carter.
Yes. If we are so anxious and concerned about what is happening in Gaza to the people there and to the war crimes that are being committed, I would like to refer you back to the World War II era when Americans sat on their hands while genocide was being committed. And every written, verbal, physical protestation is absolutely necessary to stop this event. And it's, if everyone on the KPFA board is opposed to what's happening in Gaza, and I heard someone say they were, I don't know that for sure, I think we need to take the highest moral stance, and that is to oppose this. And just because there are some issues that are just bigger than rules. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Milos, I'm going to skip over you and recognize Mr. Borgstrom. Mr. Borgstrom, do you wish to speak?
Yes. Thank you, Lily. I hear many reasons for voting against it. I have one reason for voting for it. Genocide. In one word, genocide. Thank you.
Okay. The next, I recognize Darlene Pagano.
2 minutes more. My hand was up and now it's down.
I resent put my hand down and I don't have to be blackmailed that if I don't go for the incredible laundry list, some of which I agree with, some of which I don't, that it was put up as this resolution in all of its many whereas, I'm really pissed that then we get to therefores much more in line with the therefores. But if I don't take it all, I have no concern about genocide. No, no. You just really, really moved me off your corner. Thank you.
First. Okay, we are now at 1 o'clock. I would make a motion to.
I'd like to be able to speak to the motion. I was not allowed.
Orders of the day. Orders of the day. The meeting is adjourned.
Do not interrupt me when I am talking.
He was good.
Now, it is now 1 o'clock. I would like to make a motion to extend this meeting for another 10 minutes so that the balance of the speakers can speak, which is now.
That's not point of order. Point of order.
Do not interrupt me. Fred Dodsworth, Cheryl Davila, and Liz Milos, and I don't know if Donna Carter is it. So I am making that motion.
Point of order. Point of order.
Is there any objection to
it? Point of order.
Point of order. What's your point?
I called for the orders of the day. That means the meeting is adjourned.
It's not adjourned.
Time certain, 1 o'clock. I called for orders of the day.
The meeting is not adjourned until I say it's adjourned.
I called for orders of the day. There was no motion to extend before
that. By two-thirds, we'll vote. That is why we're taking a vote. I am making a motion to extend the meeting. If you don't want to extend the meeting, vote against it.
Well, that's against Robert Bush.
Please take the
vote.
Please take the roll.
Sharon Adams.
No. And the motion wasn't seconded either. So everything's out of order. No.
Just taking the vote. We don't need commentary.
Well, it wasn't seconded. So, let's do it properly.
Daniel Borgstrom.
Talking orders of the day.
Daniel Borgstrom. Daniel Borgstrom.
Daniel votes yes to extend.
Donna Carter.
Yes.
Michael Chang. Michael, I don't hear you. Cheryl Davila.
Yes. And my hand was lowered and it should have been raised.
Cheryl, yes. Fred Dodsworth.
I'm going to pass.
Fred passes. Donald Goldmacher. Yeah. Donald Goldmacher.
I will pass.
Leslie Howard.
Yeah. There's a lot of that here.
Definitely. You're not on mute.
Leslie, I don't hear you. Zach Caldvier.
Pass.
Zach passes. Lily Kimura.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yes. Lily, yes. James McFadden. James, I don't hear you. Elizabeth Milos.
Yes.
Elizabeth, yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Darlene, yes. Candace Schott.
Yes.
Candace, yes. Mark Van Landwet.
Yes.
Mark, yes. Steve Zeltzer.
Yes.
Steve, yes. Anthony Fest. Anthony, I don't hear you. Philip Maldari.
Pass.
Philip, pass. Brian Crowell. Brian, I don't hear you. Frank Sterling. Frank, I don't hear you. Richard Walensky.
Abstain.
Richard abstains. I'm going to go back to Donna Carter.
Yes.
Donna, yes. Leslie Howard. Not voting. Lily. Oh, I need to check in with the passes. Okay. Fred Dodsworth, you passed.
I'm going to abstain.
Fred abstains. Don Goldmacher, you abstained?
No, I passed and I'm going to vote no.
You're voting.
I am going to vote no because there's no point.
Okay. All right. Zach Caldvier.
I'm going to abstain.
Zach abstain. Willie voted yes. Anthony Fest. Anthony's not there. Brian Crowell. Brian.
Anthony was voting yes. The screen time is closed. It's frozen.
Anthony, I need to hear you.
His Zoom screen is
Please
frozen.
Please don't speak for other people.
Carol, it's
Can anyone
chat.
Hear me?
Okay.
If anyone can hear me, I'm voting yes. I have technical problems here.
Thank you, Anthony. Okay, Anthony, yes. And Richard Walensky abstained. And Frank, are you there?
I am, Frank.
Okay, so we needed 2/3. We have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
It's next 5 minutes to vote to go 10 minutes late.
Sorry, like 1:06. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's really extending now 15 minutes. But I mean, that's the way it goes.
Okay.
Point of order.
Okay.
People are
no,
speaking.
No, no, no. Let her do the vote, please.
People are speaking.
I'm going to ask the parliamentarian, is it your understanding that the motion passed?
Announce the counts, please. I have the count, the informal count I have is 11 affirmative, 2 negative.
Okay, that's what I have too. And some abstentions. Okay, very good. So that does pass.
Okay, so the meeting, the motion passes. The meeting will be extended to approximately 1:17. And,
if there's no objection, we will then vote before adjourning.
Okay, and then now we will continue if there's no objection. And I think the next person is Fred Dodsworth.
I'd actually like Cheryl Davila to go next because she hasn't spoken.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cheryl. Yes. Yes, Cheryl, you're
By the way, the reason folks drop off is when you speak that your computer assumes you're finished and it will drop you off unless you carefully say, push the button that says, please don't lower my hand.
Okay. Ms. Davila, I'm sorry. Please speak.
I think it's really sad that, well, we're living in a sad world and a sad time right now. There's a genocide going on in our lifetime. Very similar to the Holocaust that went on.
Motion, and it's like, here's the motion.
Zoom tech, please mute yourself.
Peter, your mic's open.
Thank you.
The point is that every resolution makes a difference. People are dying. Over 30,000 people have been killed, 31,000. And who knows what's under the rubble, because we don't know what's under there. Children have been killed, babies, women are pregnant and giving birth in this genocide with nothing to feed their babies or themselves. It's complicity if you don't pass this resolution. The blood is on your hands.
Oh, please. Okay, thank you.
Please do the right thing. Don't be Zionistic. Zionism must end. Racism must end.
Please, please don't talk when other people are talking. Please.
We have to stand up for Palestine. We have to free Palestine, end the occupation, and end apartheid now. And if you don't do it, you're all hypocrites.
Thank you. Mr. Dodsworth?
Yeah, I would like to say that I am adamantly opposed to what is happening in the Gaza Strip, but I'd like to offer an alternative motion or an amendment to this. And what I'm offering is, whereas the KPFA LSB
opposes Israel's ethnic cleansing of Gaza and the role of the U.S. government in arming and funding Israel to carry
this out. Point of order. Point of order. I have not been allowed to speak to this motion yet. Okay. Normally, the person who presents the motion could be allowed to speak to the motion.
Ms. Milos, please. Mr. Dodsworth, please don't propose a motion. Let's just stick to this discussion regarding Ms.
Milos. If we have to stick to this, I'm going to have to vote against it because it says far more than I am comfortable saying. I oppose what's happening, but this long laundry list, this Encyclopedia Britannica motion is not representing us and it's not productive.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Milos?
Yes, the reason why I presented this motion and what people call a laundry list has to do with 75 years of ethnic cleansing and has to do with 75 years of misinformation by U.S. media. And in fact, Israeli Jewish journalist David Sheen has pointed out through its report that it put out about a particularly very, very virulent strain of Zionism called Kahanism, which has been courting the Democratic Party for decades. And he put out, which I put the link to his article there regarding that, which the Democratic Party is complicit and has been complicit in for quite some time, including members of Congress. Kahanism has been promoting genocide, outright genocide. And that's who's in control right now. And yes, I agree with Cheryl Davila that we need to eradicate Zionism from Pacifica, from KPFA. And if you do not abide by a resolution for Palestine, you would be complicit and complicit in violations of the Genocide Convention, which obligates all of us and all governments to prevent genocide. There's 2 million people who are facing famine, outright famine. They have not had any water, food, or brought forth any land, any aid through the land. In fact, even aid that's being dropped down from the sky ends up falling on people. And people are getting shot when they're trying to get at the aid. This is absolutely reprehensible that people here pretending to be progressives basically will belong to the group forever and be known that they will be known as forever being called progressives, except for Palestine, when there are millions of people, including Jewish people, that are out in the streets opposing this genocide. So please stop using your excuses and just pass this damn resolution once and for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person is Mr. Goldmacher.
Oh boy, where to start here? All the moralizing, all of the emotionalism, is not going to convince us, or convince me, I'll speak for myself, that this radio station and this local station board has to be taking a position. And just to be clear, number one, I am Jewish. Number two, I have opposed the Zionist state since 1967. So I think I have a little history on some of you folks here on what I know about Israel and what it has been doing and its creation for that matter. So to be lectured to about what is the right thing to do here is not the question. The question is whether we as a local station board, which have avoided falling into this trap previously on other, quote, emotional resolution, are going to fall prey now. And if you keep using the words reprehensible and that we're Zionist, all you're doing is alienating us further. And this is how Pacifica gets destroyed. We are a radio network. Our job is to report the news, not make the news, and not make resolutions. And by our reporting, by our programming, we are making the statement that we oppose what is happening to the Palestinian people. And we have been doing that for a long time. And we're not going to stop doing it just because you call us names. Thank you.
Ms. Pagano?
Well, I said you were going too far, and so you went further. The idea that no one associated with this board is up on the news, and that no one in this board is not in an organization not yours and working on ceasefire and stopping aid to Israel for military purposes is awful. You are not the vanguard that you think you are. You just call people names because they don't do what you want to do, or what, you know, what you want to claim victory on. It's, you just don't say to a group of progressives, you don't know, you don't care, and you are to be condemned for your, lack of actions. No, no. I know I'm never going to see you on my, pro-Palestinian line because I work in a nationwide network of what is called, the religious community, which therefore is a, which Jews are part of, observant Jews especially. So you won't know. And then therefore you think not. You wouldn't know what I do because you're not in my arena on this fight. And, yeah, I mean, your audacity that your vanguard movement is the one and only way to show opposition to what is happening in the Middle East is silly at best.
Okay, let's Miss Walensky, Mr. Lewinsky, and then the final speaker will be Miss Shop Candace.
Okay, you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I don't like being blackmailed, and I don't like being blackmailed over word salad created by someone who only wants to hear the sound of her own voice. I agree with the sentiments completely in most of this. I haven't read the whole thing. It's too damn long. And this really, really pisses the hell out of me. How dare you? How dare you put us in this position? Because if we vote no, somehow we align ourselves with fucking Nazis. How dare you? And I don't know how the hell I'm going to vote, but I am fucking pissed off and I'm cursing too. Wow. And I'm on the radio. I shouldn't. So okay. Now I yield back.
Okay. Thank you. Candace, last speaker.
I just say briefly, you know, this is an extremely emotional issue for everybody, but I would say everybody on this board agrees that what's going on in Gaza is absolutely horrific. I think there's no question of that. But I also think there's no question of KPFA's commitment to bringing peace to the world. And I think KPFA has been shouting from the rooftops on this issue about how wrong it is. And I don't think that a resolution is necessary.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Wolfley, can you please quickly take the vote on this motion?
Yes. Sharon Adams.
Abstain.
Sharon abstains. Daniel Borgstrom.
Yes.
Daniel, yes. Excuse me, I have to change papers. Okay. Sharon abstain. Daniel, yes. Donna Carter.
Yes.
Donna, yes. Michael Chang. Michael, I don't hear you. Cheryl Davila.
Yes.
Cheryl, yes. Fred Dodsworth. Fred, I don't hear you. Donald Goldmacher.
No.
Donald, no. Leslie Howard. Leslie, I don't hear you. Zach Caldvier.
No.
Zach, no. Lily Kimura?
A reluctant no.
Lily, no. James McFadden? James, I don't hear you. Elizabeth Milos?
Yes.
Elizabeth, yes. Brian Crowell? Brian, I don't hear you. Candace Schott?
No.
Candace, no. Mark Van Landewitt?
No.
Mark, no. Steve Seltzer?
Yes.
Steve, yes. Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Anthony, yes. Philip Maldari?
No.
Philip, no. Darlene Pagano?
No. Blackmail, no.
Darlene, no. Frank Sterling? Frank, I don't hear you. Richard Walensky?
Blackmail again? No.
Richard, no. All right. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes.
I want to change my vote to no.
Sharon's changing it to no. Okay. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 9, no.
What's the count?
6, yes, 9, no.
The motion does not pass. This is all business of this meeting concluded. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
What was the result of the vote?
She just told you.
No, the committee elections. Excuse me.
Motion was lost. Motion was lost.
No, the results of the committee elections.
She announced.
How many times do they have?
She announced before that they were going to let you know after by an email because they were. It's going to take a while to tally them up.
Okay, thank you. I've had problems connecting this time. Screen freezes and stuff.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.